All right, we're back, folks. Sorry, I thought that was going to be a little bit longer break, but it's always good to get back in because we have John in California with some very good questions. And sorry to cut you off there, George. I think you were commenting on differences in the temperature at the surface of the Earth versus higher up in the atmosphere, how that's measured, and what the impact that has on our understanding of global warming.
That's right, Peter. And according to greenhouse theory, there should be more warming in the upper part of the atmosphere, let's say the middle of the troposphere.
Correct.
Than there should be at the surface.
Right.
In reality, it's the surface that has seen the increases much more strongly than the mid to upper atmosphere. And I think that the mid to upper atmosphere measurements are better ones and more valid ones because there are a lot of things that can occur with surface temperatures that can cause them to be problematic. One of the biggest, I think, is a thing that we call the urban heat island effect.
Right, correct.
We know that in and around urban areas, temperatures are warmer than they are in rural areas. And when you have an area that is changing its land use over time, you tend to get changes in temperature. So many of the temperatures that are recorded, especially in foreign countries, are recorded in and around airports. And airports historically have been the scene of very significant changes in land use and development. So I think many of the temperature measurements at the surface are contaminated by land use change, and they're affected by human activities, but not because of greenhouse gases, rather because of land use change. So it's something that the state climatologists all look at this very, very carefully, and I think one of the reasons why many of the state climatologists are minimalists when it comes to the global warming effect is because we often don't really believe the truth in the surface data, and we look at other kinds of indicators like upper air temperatures.
Well, those are very important points. I'm glad you mentioned that because that was the whole point, I think, that Dr. Singer was trying to bring out in his book and also on his website, is that if the global circulation models, which is what all the politicians are pinning their hopes on, especially in the state of California, to predict not only the near future, such as what's going to happen in 2025 or 2050, but also by the end of the century, if the model for global warming is, if their algorithms are incorrect, what does that say about these long-term predictions? And another thing that he and also Dr. Patrick J. Michaels, another noted skeptical climatologist, he brought out, you know, the whole land use problem and the fact that my impression was that many of the models have not been corrected completely for the urban heat island effect.
I hate to cut you short. You make some very good points. We have three more callers, so I need to move on, okay? Thank you for your call. Let's see. Let's go to John in Omaha. John in Omaha, you're on the Peter. John in New York. John in New York, are you there?
Bruce in Omaha.
Okay, sorry, got the wrong name for you. What's your name? Chris?
Bruce in Omaha.
Bruce, okay,
yeah,
go ahead,
yeah.
Bruce.
Okay, I'm an old aerospace engineer, and I also worked in the Air Force as an avionics tech. So, and I've done a lot of research on this weather stuff. Jerry Smith's book, Weather Warfare, has some good information. And Mitch Batros's book, Solar Rain, also has some good information. Jerry Smith explains that one of the reasons for the contrails, longer persistence.
Sorry to cut you off here. You'll have to hold that thought, Bruce. Okay. And we'll be back here in a couple minutes. Stay with us, folks. We're taking another short break.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for holding on through the break. We have Bruce in Omaha. Bruce, I'll have to ask you to make your point or question quickly. We have two callers patiently waiting behind you I want to get to, so go
okay,
ahead, Bruce.
The book by Mitch Batros, Solar Rain, and then the book by Jerry Smith, Water Warfare. Smith explains the reason for some of the reasons for the persistence of the contrails is the high bypass ratio in the turbofan engine, which lowers the ejecta from the engine somewhat, and there's less it's a more laminar flow. The book explains it fairly well, and then also one of the reasons for the weather pattern changes could be the Earth's molten core is putting out more heat because of the torsion physics from the external influences of the sun and Planet X coming in on us. There's an article in Nexus, back issue of Nexus magazine from the late 90s that I get through Adventures Unlimited Press in Kempton, Illinois, explains this torsion physics, a bending moment somewhat, in which it puts stress on the core of the Earth, it puts up more heat, and it changes the magnetic field somewhat and causes the changes in the weather patterns. That's about the best I can do on the Nexus magazine. Back issue from the late 90s or early 2000s. there's just so much.
Let's let Mr. Taylor comment then, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Well, as far as the second point that Bruce raised, Peter, that's beyond anything that I know or understand. But in terms of the first point, during one of the breaks, your producer, Ken, came on the line and mentioned that he has a relative who is a commercial pilot, and he explained one of the things that Bruce just mentioned, and that is that the newer jets, the fan jets, have become much more efficient. They have fewer particles, and that has caused a change in the persistence of the contrails. They last longer because of fewer particles. The other thing that Ken mentioned is that there have been some significant fuel improvements, which have been another cause for change. It makes the jets more fuel efficient, but it also changes the makeup of their exhaust. So that's
Right. Those two things that really explain that.
In other words, the claims that there's some sinister plot behind the creation of these is somewhat dispelled, if not completely, by this information, right?
Well, it suggests that it's fuel economy and efficiency that are really right. the things that brought that about.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
One more thing, if I may. That does not dispel the chemtrail theory. It just explains part of the problem. The chemtrails are there. They are real. There's more in Jerry Smith's book about that it gets into some pretty hefty meat on that.
I didn't say they weren't real, Bruce. I just said that seems to dispel the notion that there's some sinister plot. If this is simply due to a change in the engine and the fuel efficiency of the engine, then that dispels.
Well,
at least it tends to rebut the claim that there's some sinister plot.
There is a plot, sir.
I don't know that there is or isn't. I'm just saying that information itself does not support the contention that there's a plot.
But there's more information in Jerry Smith's book that does support the plot idea.
Okay, that's fine. Anything else? Okay, well, thank you, Bruce, for your call. Let's move on to John in New York. John, you're on the Peter Mac Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If you're worried about knowing if anybody has control of the weather, they had a gentleman offer to shut Katrina down, and you can look and see Bush Clinton Katrina Fund patent was 2 or 3 months prior to Katrina. It's like June or July 10th or 12th. They made a patent trademark so they could get the revenues of like donations or whatever. Anyhow, have you ever talked about spiritually the Pyramid Giza was built with a timeline in it in which where Christ was crucified, his face is in the side wall as it's in the cloth of Turin. And right now we've reached the end times to where the son of the star Sirius is shining into the end portals. And if you read the book like The Coming Superstorm, it talks about the calendar, the zodiac calendar, whoever made it, they don't know who made it, but it talks about a sequence of stars. And also in that sequence of stars, it talks about it's not only the stars, it's a point of culture because you do have as you look at the Earth, you can tell that the continents weren't made by glaciers. They were broken apart and floated apart. Actually, in Columbus's time, there was a map of Antarctica with cities on it, and they don't explain how that got down there into being an iceberg between that period of time, and that doesn't explain the cities underwater and the shipping yards 5,000 feet in the air. It's a galactic change. If you pull up J. McCanney Science's information, he says we're swollen 25% right now in the magma because of the higher electromagnetism, and that's an unusual state that exists right now. Is the Earth has less electromagnetism on the average, but all the other planets, especially like Jupiter, is 4 times the electromagnetism. If you look up in the stars at night now, you'll see the planets are much brighter because they've got a tremendous amount of radiation making them brighter in color. I didn't know if you had any comments on that.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Do you have anything to respond to that with, George? I don't.
There's not much I can say, Peter. There was a geological theory called uniformitarianism, which suggested that if there are phenomena that are not being seen now, that they never happened in the past, and it ended up causing a lot of problems for geologists. I think there's so many changes that are going on, and have gone on for a long time that we don't really understand. It certainly humbles me, and I think it should humble all of us. I'll also mention, just in passing, as far as the end times go, I think we are definitely moving into the end times, but not so much because of geophysical changes, but more like the spiritual changes that we're seeing that are highlighted in the Book of Revelation, and I think a lot of those things are happening pretty fast.
There's a couple of historical things. One is there's a cave in Africa that has a 30-foot square mural on the wall that's 2,000 years old. It's of the sun, the nine planets, and the visiting planet, and it's marked down, and it's a 3,600 or 3,800-year cycle. There's writings by Plato that says the year of the 10th planet is a gray year. The biblical information is when Moses walked in the wilderness for 40 years, you think about it. The Phoenicians, the Greeks, and the Egyptians owned everything. So how did they have 40 years of wilderness? And at the same time, the devastation is investigated when they did the calendar investigations showed that the rivers didn't just turn red in the Nile. They turned red around the earth, and there was a lot of places that had 2 days of sunlight and a lot of places that had 2 days of darkness. And the just the devastation that took place, there's geographical information that shows this taking place also. But anyhow, hey, I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to Paris in Illinois. Paris, are you there?
Oh, hello?
Paris, you're on the Peter Mac Show.
Yeah, I have a question. What do you think would happen in the upcoming hurricane season? What would be the main factor, like how intense this hurricane season might be?
I didn't understand your question.
Well, he was asking how intense the coming hurricane season was going to be.
Okay.
The forecasters are suggesting that this is going to be an above average year, and my friend Bill Gray from Colorado State, who's probably the best known hurricane forecaster, is suggesting that. And the reasons are, first of all, we're in a very active cycle, probably a multi-decadal cycle of busy hurricane years. Last year we had a weak El Nino, and El Ninos tend to suppress hurricanes. This year we're moving into a La Nina, which, if anything, tends to encourage them. So I think both the El Nino and the long-term cycles, both natural, are things that will cause this year to be a little bit above average. Now whether or not that includes landfalls in certain places remains to be seen.
Oh, okay. So we might have an intense hurricane season because there was an Andrew formed a couple of weeks ago. It was a first name storm, and it was formed pretty early in May.
Yeah, and I heard that there have been 18 previous years when the first storm formed prior to June 1st. Officially, June 1st is the beginning of the hurricane season. But you know that tropical storm that formed was not really a hurricane. It was actually a subtropical storm that had some cold air from the north and warm air from the south. Hurricanes are purely warm air, so it wasn't really a classical hurricane in that sense.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Paris, for the call.
Yeah.
Okay. Did we? I think you were way back about three or four callers before. You were talking about solar activity and solar cycles and so forth. And correct me if I'm wrong here, George. I mean, isn't the sun the source of all the heat on the Earth, or ultimately? Or I mean, one caller alluded to the center of the Earth, or the core there producing heat, and that somehow being altered and so forth. And maybe, but I mean, ultimately, all the heat that we experience on the surface of the oceans, the atmosphere, isn't that all ultimately due to the sun?
Oh, you're right. You're right, Peter. And ultimately, it's just about everything. And certainly there is geothermal heat, which represents a small fraction of total sunlight. No, the sun definitely dominates. So when there are changes in sunlight and the intensity of the light, then it can only affect Earth one way or another.
Right. And you mentioned the very small changes in the intensity of the radiation, but the difference between summer and winter is due to the position of the Earth, the angle at which the rays strike the Earth primarily, right?
That's correct.
And the global warming people who are speaking, and we'll get into that in a minute, who are forecasting these, you know, dire consequences if we don't take immediate actions to shut down, you know, virtually all emissions of fossil fuels and so forth, are talking about a few degree changes. It seems to me when we have a body, 93 million miles away or something, producing that kind of heat, and it can produce those kinds of changes from summer to winter with a relatively small change in the angle at which those rays hit the Earth, that to rule that out as a complete cause, if not the largest cause of any changes we're seeing, seems to me to be silly. I mean,
well,
maybe that's the...
I agree with you, and I think one of the things that I was going to bring up, and I'll bring it up now, is that not too long ago, NASA and then the Russian Academy of Sciences both suggested that their studies of circulation inside the sun have indicated that the solar cycle that is going to occur in the early 2020s is likely to be the weakest in many centuries. And if that's true, then we're going to experience some very, very cold temperatures in the 2020s.
Okay, stay with us, folks. We'll be back here with George Taylor, climatologist from Oregon, in just a couple minutes.
Hey, Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Okay, thanks for holding on through the break, folks. We're back here on the Peter Mac Show with my special guest, George Taylor, climatologist from the state of Oregon. And, George, you were mentioning that in the year 2020, we are predicting a minimum degree of solar activity, minimum over the course of about a century. Is that right?
Yeah, probably the lowest, according to NASA and the Russians, that we've seen since the early 1800s. And the early 1800s were a period of very, very low solar activity, and it was the last really cold period in the Little Ice Age. So if that occurred and not much else changed, then we would tend to see very cold conditions, I think, and it's something to keep an eye on, but also something that we can't really factor into the models yet, because we don't know enough about long-term changes in solar radiation to know how those are going to change in the next 20 years.
Right. I would like to let the listeners know, just because you commented on the fact that, in the late 70s or 60s to 70s, correct me if I'm wrong, we had a cooling period. And there is an excellent article describing this in Newsweek of April 28th, 1975. And if any of the listeners want a copy of that, it's one page. You can send me an email to peter@petermacshow.com, and I can send you a PDF of this page. It's entitled The Cooling World. And it talks about the ominous trends with the cooling and how food production is going to be cut by something like 100,000 tons of wheat annually if we don't do something about it. And so I think this was only 32 years ago that at least the author of this article was claiming that the consensus was that the Earth was undergoing such a rapid cooling that it was going to have devastating consequences for food production and therefore portend mass starvation around the world. So The other thing I'd like to point out and comment on this, if you would, George, is Thomas Kuhn wrote a book in 1962 called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. Are you familiar with that?
It's one of my favorite books, Peter.
Yeah, it's cited. I just saw this in Barnes & Noble last night. It's cited as one of the 100 most influential books in this in history. And people should read that because it shows that while science is supposed to be removed from political influences and that sort of thing, Kuhn points out that when people adopt a particular scientific paradigm, even scientists have a hard time thinking outside the paradigm. And when they look at data within that paradigm, they tend to try to make the data fit the paradigm, even to the point that they have to, you know, metaphorically stretch the paradigm in all kinds of odd ways to make it fit. I guess one example of that would be the geocentric theory of the universe, that all the planets rotate around the Earth. And if you want to describe the orbits of the planets with the Earth at the center, then you don't have these relatively nice ellipses. You have really strange trajectories of the planets and so forth. And then, when you put the sun at the center, you have these relatively nice ellipses. And I would just ask people to consider that, because it might be that the scientific consensus now is that, although, as you pointed out, there are a lot of scientists, you know, other than yourself, that think that, you know, that are minimalists, think that whatever contribution human activity is, it's minimal in terms of the changes, and you pointed out good reason to believe that human activity is minimally contributing to it. But if enough people believe that, it's very hard for people to break out of that. And as I'll note here in a minute, I want to get to our next caller. Our politicians have chimed into this notion that human beings are causing global warming, and it's going to be disastrous if we don't take draconian measures to stifle the production of fossil fuel emissions and so forth. And I'll get to that, but I want to get to our next caller. So, Mike, in Pennsylvania, you're on the Peter Mac Show. Go ahead.
Hello. Can you all hear me?
We can hear you.
Oh, very good. Say, in reference to your guest there, I was wondering if he has ever listened to NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association.
Have I listened to them?
Yeah, some of their weather reports.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure. They've been absolutely taken over by the military. Do you have anything?
Right.
Yes, they have, because as you'll see, on somewhat of a clear day, they'll say mostly sunny, becoming partly cloudy. The only thing that rolls in is the sprays out of those jets. You know right there that they're being controlled.
I don't know how to comment on that. George, do you have any comment? I don't.
Nope, I don't
okay.
either.
I don't know what to say to that, Mike.
Yeah, well, what we're saying is NOAA is absolutely controlled by the military there. And I find it hard to actually agree with your guest there very much. Sir, did you ever sign any type of paperwork for you to keep your mouth shut for national security reasons?
No.
No, you haven't. Well, then I might have to go easy on you, because there's a lot of environmental scientists that have actually captured the sprays and analyzed them, and it's not what most people are hearing.
Sprays of what?
That are emanating from these jets, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
I don't have anything to say, Mike. I don't know anything about that.
Okay.
It's whether our guest does or not. I mean, he's
nope.
commented on his knowledge about the trails left behind by jets already. I don't know if he can say anything more to that.
Well, nope. I guess if he can keep a lid on things, I hope he doesn't, and I hope he gets into the real world. Okay, thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Well, folks, we'll take another short break here at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us. You're on the Peter Mac Show.
A message for all homeowners and prospective homeowners out there. If you reside in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, California, or Utah, we can help you with financing the purchase of a new home or refinancing your existing mortgage. We now have a wide array of lenders for your purchase or refinancing needs. If you are looking for a cash-out refinance from an adjustable to a fixed-rate loan, paying down credit card debt, consolidating installment or other debt, or been wanting to invest in the safe haven of gold in the silver market but you've been sitting on the fence waiting for the right time, whatever your reason, give RBN a call and ask to talk to our mortgage professional. He can help you find a plan that fits your needs while he walks you through the process very simply and easily. You couldn't choose a better time to pay down debt or purchase gold and silver. And not only do you accomplish your goal, but you also help to support RBN in continuing to voice the truth. Don't wait any longer. Call us now at 1-800-724-2719. Again, that's 1-800-724-2719.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. We've got about a little less than a half hour left. I just want to make a comment in general about this show and conspiracies, and that is that I am as suspicious about the federal government of the United States probably about as anybody listening about them being involved in things that are not within their scope of authority. For example, the federal income tax that I've talked about and the Federal Reserve banking system. But if you call up and you believe that the government or somebody else is involved in some sinister plot and you believe my guest is not talking about it because he or she has taken some oath, then have some evidence to support that. Don't just call in here and say, the government is up to no good and we know it for sure. And if your guest won't talk about it or imply that, you know, if my guest won't talk about it, that he or she is intentionally keeping his mouth shut, because that's not the case in most cases. I mean, people can come on this show and talk about what they want to, but I think you have to back it up with evidence. And that was my whole point of having George Taylor on here as a climatologist. I mean, we hear many things about the you know, global warming and what the causes are, and I would appeal to everybody's sense of rational investigation. Look at the evidence. George has told us that where he stands on the issue, but he's open, like any good scientist would be, to new evidence coming in that might sway him in a different direction. But let's have it be a discussion that's based on evidence and rational deliberation of that evidence, and not subtle implications that somebody is withholding information because they're part of the plot.
Peter, can I add something to that?
Sure.
I appreciate your words, and if anything, people used to say to me, I need to shut up more rather than say more. I think there are a lot of people
who wish I would quit talking about my opinion on this issue because it does run counter to those of a lot of people. I also want to say, and I haven't said this yet, that there are plenty of good reasons to reduce our use of fossil fuels. Conservation is always a good thing, and so I'm certainly not advocating that we do nothing. But I just think that to suggest that the humans somehow control climate is way too much of a stretch for me to go along with.
Right. Well, and my concern is, and I may differ with you on this, George, so that's okay. I just don't think the federal government is the best agency to declare our federal government or any government about human activity that may be doing something wrong. I mean, it's just my opinion. I think the track record of our government addressing problems is often one of making the cure worse than the disease. And I want to read just portions of a letter here that appeared in the online portion of the Wall Street Journal on October 27, 2006. This is a letter written from John Rockefeller and Olympia Snowe, senators from West Virginia and Maine, respectively. And I know we have a caller, Joe, on the line there. So, Joe, if you'll just be patient, let me get through a little bit of this. Because a previous caller about an hour ago talked about, you know, what is pushing the movement. And I think it's, in my opinion, it's ideological. And I think here's some evidence. This is, again, from John Rockefeller and Olympia Snowe. This is written to the chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil Corporation, Mr. Tillerson. And it goes like this. Allow us to take this opportunity to congratulate you on your first year as a chairman and chief executive officer of ExxonMobil Corporation. You will become the public face of an undisputed leader in the world energy industry and a company that plays a vital role in our national economy. As that public face, you have the ability and responsibility to lead ExxonMobil toward its rightful place as a good corporate and global citizen. Now listen to this. We are writing to appeal to your sense of stewardship that the corporate citizenship as U.S. senators concerned about the credibility of the United States in the international community and as Americans concerned that one of our most prestigious corporations has done much in the past to adversely affect that credibility. We are convinced that ExxonMobil's long-standing support of a small cadre of global climate change skeptics and those skeptics' access to and influence on government policymaking have made it increasingly difficult for the United States to demonstrate the moral clarity it needs across all facets of its diplomacy. Obviously, other factors complicate our foreign policy. However, we are persuaded that the climate change denial strategy carried out by and for ExxonMobil has helped foster the perception that the United States is insensitive to a matter of great urgency for all of mankind and has thus damaged the stature of our nation internationally. It is our hope that under your leadership, ExxonMobil would end its dangerous support for the, quote, deniers. Likewise, we look to you to guide ExxonMobil to capitalize on its significant resources and prominent industry position to assist this country in taking its appropriate leadership role in promoting the technological innovation necessary to address climate change and in fashioning a truly global solution to what is undeniably a global problem. So here you have two senators, in my opinion, who have bought into the idea that, number one, the change is going to be catastrophic, and number two, it's caused by human beings. And these people, in my opinion, are putting pressure on one of the leaders of a corporation in this country to stop supporting, quote unquote, deniers, skeptics. And yet, George, you would be a skeptic about the claim that human activity is the major cause of global warming, right?
I'm definitely one of the people that they're talking about, and in the first place, I think skepticism is really important in science. If anything, it gives you checks and balances on what truth really is.
Absolutely.
I have also been accused, Peter, of lining my pockets with oil money, as a quote from an article written about me a couple of years ago, and my wife laughs about it. She says, you know, if you're lining your pockets with oil money, where is it? You know, we have one car between the two of us. I ride a bicycle to work every day, and she said, if you're getting oil money, where are you hiding it, buddy?
Yeah.
I said, well, of course, I'm not getting oil money.
Right. Well, this just points out to me what my response to the previous caller, that I think that people, and I think the leader in this movement is Al Gore with his movie An Inconvenient Truth, and I confess I haven't seen the movie, and hopefully you have and can comment on it, but I think there are a group of people in this country, primarily on the left of the political agenda, who believe that government is the solution to every problem, and they look for opportunities to increase government power, and they're not really too darn concerned about whether, A, there really is a catastrophe looming 2-3 a decade down the road or whatever, or whether the evidence is clearly supporting that human beings are causing that disaster that's looming down the road, even if it is a disaster. They're using that to promote their agenda of greater government power, and I think Al Gore is the chief proponent of that ideology. That's my opinion.
I wouldn't argue with that. I hate to impugn other people's motives, even though people impugn mine all the time, but I think there certainly is that sense that a lot of people have that somehow big government and international government is really the solution to our problems. And I tend to be on the same point of view that you are, that government is in most ways a much less efficient way of getting things done. And I think I'll stop at that and try to put my scientist hat back on.
Right. Well, that's okay. I mean, you certainly can have an opinion like I can on, you know, and that's a speculation, but I've seen, I think, sufficient evidence of that. Well, let's go to Joe from Boston. Joe, you're on the Peter Mac Show. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hello?
Go ahead, Joe.
Yes. Yes. First of all, I'm in agreement with the speaker. It would be very interesting to know for most people out there who may not be aware of it, that, and it's very readily available, and that is that all the planets are warming up, and that would eliminate SUVs or contrails from the picture altogether.
Unless there are SUVs on other planets.
Right, that's right.
tongue-in-cheek comment there, but
this less than 0.5% of the warming would be attributed to man-made warming. This is according to James McCanney, who has his own website by his own name, I think it is. But anyone could do a search on his name. Two C's and two N's in his name. Another point. And that is that the Army said that the contrails have aluminum, aluminum particles and other particles, and these are to help slow down the warming by deflecting the sunlight. But that comes from the program, the Power Hour with Dave and Joyce. But there's another point too that people should know, in that there's a website called Carnicom.com, Carnicom, where they have examined these particles when they upon arriving at the ground level. He has done this privately, and they have found that there is aluminum and things of that nature in the particles, but there is also things that causes diseases and things like that in these particles. So there is some information to suggest this conspiracy idea too. So I thought that information would be good for people to know.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Any comment on that, George?
Well, getting back to this, the solar system business, there is evidence that virtually the entire solar system is warming up. The only issue I would bring up is again the one I mentioned earlier, and that is we don't have a lot of long term information about surface temperatures on other planets. So I look at that with a grain of salt, if you will. But I think there's certainly evidence that there are significant changes happening on other planets, which surprises me not at all, because if the sun is brighter, if it gets stronger, then it's clear that it will affect other planets as well.
Right. Right. And I think he pointed out something, too, or at least I gleaned this from Joe's comment, George, and that is whatever action we might take, let's assume that global warming is, in fact, happening at an alarming rate. And let's assume, for the sake of my argument right now, that it is caused primarily, if not solely, by human activity. Then the question is, what do we do, and what would be the effect of what we do? And if we're talking about, for example, people are talking about major taxes on the use of fossil fuels and so forth, what would be the effect of that on countries? What would be the effect? I mean, it's just clear as a bell that when you have the government starting to dictate economic policy via, for whatever reason, that you often have disasters, economically speaking, happened that they really didn't plan on, because you cannot manage, the U.S. economy, let alone the world economy, and to start imposing draconian measures may have adverse effects far worse than having to deal with, you know, elevated temperatures. But I just don't think people in power often, they're certainly not, in my opinion, bright enough, and they're certainly often not worried enough or long-range looking enough to worry about the consequences of the kinds of laws or rules they might impose on people.
Just, Peter, a few years ago when we were talking about the idea of adopting the so-called Kyoto Accord, which would greatly reduce CO2 emissions, especially in the U.S., one of the chief U.S. scientists who is very worried about global warming did a calculation. His calculation was if the entire world adhered to the Kyoto Accord and not only signed it but adhered to it, that the net reduction in temperature over the next 50 years would be 0.07 degrees Celsius, less than a tenth of a degree C, which you couldn't even measure. And in order to bring that about, it was estimated by the U.S. Department of Energy that it would require a carbon tax amounting to about $200 billion a year, which would essentially double the price of gasoline and electricity and cause other changes as well, which would obviously have tremendous economic influences on the U.S. and probably hurt poor people and seniors on fixed income the most. So I think Kyoto was a bad idea. It was voted on in the Senate, the Byrd-Hagel Amendment, 95-0 in 1997, not to ratify a treaty that would cause significant economic harm to the U.S.
Well, thank goodness for that. But the other thing, I guess, I'm hopeful about, I mean, the 20th century was unprecedented in terms of technological innovation and scientific discoveries. I think it's fair to say there's been a greater gain of knowledge in the last 100 years than all of the previous time of human being, you know, prior to that. So it seems to me if we are experiencing this, we can look forward to as yet unknown possible ways to deal with it. And it seems to me also, George, that, I mean, the human beings, the economy, everything functions on energy of one source or another. And it's better to have an excess of that energy. I mean, we could find ways to deal with it. Maybe we could somehow siphon excess energy out of the air in some huge, you know, air conditioning fashion in the world. Of course, I'm speculating wildly now, and use that energy productively. But it seems to me, in a very general sense, it would be better to have too much energy than too little energy in the long run.
Peter, you raise a really good point, and I think a lot of the very substantive changes that we've seen in disease prevention, and by the way, I'm a cancer survivor thanks to money for research, in terms of longevity and general health and agricultural productivity and so on, are all really results of technology and cheap energy. And
right.
I think when it comes to solutions, and I have my citizen rather than my scientist hat on right now, I think that we have two choices. It's sort of the carrot and the stick approach, where the stick is something punitive like a carbon tax that will punish people for using a resource, and the carrot is encouraging better, higher technology, better ways of using energy, more efficient things, brand new things that I think you implied in your statement, and I totally agree with that. That's a better way to do it, to rely on especially the brain power and the innovation of the United States to really bring about more significant changes, additional ones than we've already seen, and I think the future is rosy if we adopt that kind of an attitude.
Well, I do too. And if we get another break here before the top of the hour, I'm going to locate a book, hopefully quickly. I can't recall the title right now, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. And it's about energy in general, and that what we have seen since, say, 1900 is obviously an increase in the use of energy, because energy drives everything we do. But with each increase in the efficiency of the use of energy, we also waste energy. It's just part of technological innovation. And the great example they provide that comes to mind, George, is the laser. I'm contemplating, and I'm probably going to have this procedure known as LASIK surgery, where I have my extreme nearsightedness corrected.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves using a laser beam. Well, the amount of energy that's taken to drive that machine and do that very precise modification of the cornea of my eye you know, like 99% of that energy is dissipated and not, you know, used productively. But it's that 1% focused in the right place that can correct my vision and has already corrected the vision of millions of people. So when we get more efficient in using energy, we also waste it. And that's just a phenomena of technological progress. And so we're never going to get to the point where, you know, we have an engine that's, you know, 100% use. I mean, an internal combustion engine, you know, converts gasoline into mechanical energy. And I think, I don't know what, maybe you know, but something like less than 50% of the energy that comes from the explosion of the gasoline in the cylinders actually gets converted into mechanical energy. The rest probably gets dissipated in heat. But yet we try to make engines more efficient, but we're still going to have that waste. That's just a byproduct of technological innovation. And we shouldn't assume that we're going to reach a place where the use of energy is so efficient that none of it is dissipated in heat and other unuseful ways.
Well, I agree with that. And I think rather than getting stuck in saying, how can we get by with less energy?
Right.
How can we? I think a better question is, how can we get more energy?
Right, exactly. Let's take up that when we get back. Folks, we've got about 10 minutes left. We'll be back here with the Peter Mac Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network in just a couple minutes.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Okay, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in here to the Republic Broadcasting Network. My special guest with me today has been George Taylor, climatologist for the state of Oregon, and I've just learned a tremendous amount here, George, just listening to you talk about it and our guests calling in. I wanted to do this quick plug, if you will, for the book I was referencing. I had to pull it up on the internet. The book is entitled The Bottomless Well, The Twilight of Fuel, The Virtue of Waste, and Why We Will Never Run Out of Energy. And it's by Peter Huber and Mark Wills. And I'm just going to read a brief paragraph describing the book, and then want to talk, if you would, briefly about Al Gore's movie and just any summarizing comments you have, so you can think about those while I'm reading this, if you would, George. Anyway, The Bottomless Well is a book, and it's, as paragraph describes it, the sheer volume of talk about energy, energy prices, and energy policy on both sides of the political aisle suggests that we must know something about these subjects. But according to Peter Huber and Mark Mills, the things we know are mostly myths. They explain why demand will never go down, why most of what we think as energy waste actually benefits us, why more efficient cars, engines, and bulbs will never lower demand, and why energy supply is infinite. In the automotive sector, gas prices matter less and less, and hybrid engines will most likely lead us to cars propelled by the coal-fired grid. As for the much maligned power grid itself, it's the worst system we could have, except for all the proposed alternatives. Expanding energy supplies means higher productivity, more jobs, and a growing GDP. Across the board, energy isn't the problem. Energy is the solution. So, again, that's the bottom as well. And so while it's certainly good to make things efficient and so forth, it's more energy is going to make our lives better, not trying to eliminate our use of energy, at least in my opinion.
Peter, that's a great book. I have a copy of it as well, and I also enjoyed it. So I'm glad you brought that up. And one thing I'll mention, because they mentioned the electricity grid and how inefficient that is, it's true that the transmission losses from a major power plant to a home are tremendous. And I've heard various figures, but I think more than half the electricity is lost en route. I really think that one of the things that we ought to be doing as a society is generating more local energy. For example, if we had inexpensive solar photovoltaic cells we could put on our roofs and connected directly with our home, and a lot of people are doing that. I think that sort of a thing of locally generated power really makes a lot of sense, and it can really help. It's certainly not going to make up for all of the large scale energy use, but I think those kinds of things can help a great deal.
Sure, I agree, and I think those things will come about, George, when the economic conditions are right. That is, if gas and electricity, which are used primarily for heating and running our homes, as it becomes more expensive, relatively speaking, then people will look to other things. And hopefully the technological advances in photovoltaic cells will increase to where they're more cost effective. But
yep.
At present time, I simply, for most people, it's not efficient to run their whole house off those because it's too expensive and they don't produce enough energy. But maybe in the next decade or two, that will change.
I totally agree. And I'm big on free market economy driving all that. So, yeah, I don't disagree at all.
Absolutely. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. I had intended to but did not see Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth. One thing I heard about that is, although he has a number of scientists on there, there are a relatively small number of climatologists. So while he has people commenting about the potential ill effects of I've got to take another short break, folks. When we come back, we'll have just maybe a minute or so. So we'll let George have the final comments. Back in a minute. Hang with us.
Recent international flight